Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
For the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me, of course, is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, Wednesdays and Saturdays, the new blogs go up, so swing on over there and check that out. There is various content added throughout the week, though, so continue to hang out there, see what you like. Maybe you'll find something interesting. You never know. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and follow the link over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. Mr. Fantasy, not so much, but Dan and I would appreciate that. Of course, there's the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, now, you know, Dan, I know occasionally we get sidetracked into politics and, you know, we've got this new travel ban or whatever you want to call it about letting people come into the country. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about this sports related, and I'm wondering how big of an issue do you think this may become for some NBA teams and their players, because, you know, the NBA, I believe, has the biggest influx of players from, you know, I guess we could call them Muslim nations, maybe. You know, obviously baseball has quite a few, you know, from Mexico and the Dominican Republic and places like that. But, you know, like the one example that popped into my head really quick was former Bull Luol Deng, who was actually born in Sudan. I had to look that up. I know he played for England in the Olympics. You know, and I know the Bucks have a player they drafted this year by the name of Thon Maker. And he was born, I don't know if he was born in Sudan, but he was born over there as well. You know, does our new president and his staff need to figure out a way to kind of get the NBA players around this, or, you know, worded a different way? Because apparently from everything I've heard, it's just kind of open-ended now.
Well, I have to look into the act a little bit more, but I mean, like you said, Sudan is on there.
Yeah, because, I mean, could you imagine, you know, the Lakers fly, you know, from L.A. to, you know, L.A. to New York to play the Knicks, and they don't let Deng out of the airport. You know, it's kind of like, you know, obviously, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who know who he is. I mean, he's been in the NBA a long time. But, you know, technically, he's an immigrant. You know, he happens to be born in, you know, he was born in a part of the world where there's been a lot of terror issues. You know, obviously, we know he's not, you know, ISIS or whatever the other group is. I know there's a secondary group out there now. But, you know, he's kind of covered by this blanket new law. You know, what the heck do they do with, you know, some of these guys now? You know, it's just they've got to adapt it somehow, right?
I mean, it's fair for the people are, but I don't think it'll affect them so much as it looks like waivers will be given, but on a case-by-case basis. So you're not going to get like a group of people who will get a waiver. You'll get an individual. You know, unfortunately for the NBA, it's an international organization. So if they were, then maybe it would be different.
You know, and I'm assuming, you know, this isn't there, you know, they'll work out and there isn't going to be a problem. But, you know, I mean, just, you know, worst case scenario is, you know, one of those guys, you know, standing at the airport while his teammates drive away in team bus or, you know, whatever's picking him up at the airport and he's just stuck there because they won't let him through. So, yeah, that could just be weird. You know, I don't even know how the heck else to describe that. It would just be a weird situation, wouldn't it? Oh, you were breaking up pretty bad there. What'd you say?
I was looking at the wrong travel ban list. That was for July.
Oh. Yeah, you know, just the all the fun stuff you get to, I don't know, deal with when you're, you know, you get a new president or however it works out. But, yeah, I never thought it would be, you know, most of these things don't affect sports. So it's a little different when it's actually kind of like, hey, wait, this is going on. You know, why is this going on?
Yeah, well, it's hard to.
Yeah, and I did see Tristan Thompson of the Cavaliers finally reacted to, you know, all the LeBron James stuff and, you know, the fun, you know, Dan Gilbert isn't, you know, paying guys or however we're looking at it. But Thompson came out and said that his quote was, "I earned my money. LeBron's not my agent. I earn my money doing what I do. You can ask anyone around the league. I open doors for other guys. It's a business, and you get paid what the market value is for you. I got my money and open doors for other guys that play hard and do the little things." You know, it's nice that he believes this, Dan, but the only reason they signed him is because LeBron told them to bring him back, no matter what. So, yeah, you know, like I was saying, Dan, it's nice that Tristan Thompson thinks that he earned his money, but they only brought him back because LeBron pretty much strong-armed them into bringing him back. You know, I mean, he was the deciding factor, you know, yeah, in bringing Tristan Thompson back and bringing J.R. Smith back. You know, to give Thompson's agent credit, you know, he did roll that advantage into a 5-year, $82 million deal for a guy who just didn't deserve it. You know, I mean, he's a solid defender and he's a good rebounder, but, you know, that means nothing in the new NBA. You know, nobody cares about that. I mean, he called it the little things. You know, it could be easily just be called stuff that people don't care about anymore. You know, if you can't dunk or shoot the three, you know, nobody gives a crap about you. So, but yeah, I thought it was kind of cute that he thinks he earned his money and LeBron didn't have anything to do with him getting it. So.
Well, and then we'll see what happens next season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like, if LeBron does decide to leave, you know, how all the guys feel, because obviously, you know, you're stuck with a guy like Thompson. Nobody's taking that off your hands. You know, 5 years, $82 million. Yeah, that's a joke. You know, I don't have the J.R. Smith numbers in front of me, but I think it was only a 1 or 2 year deal. So they, you know, they're not kind of latched to him as much as they are to some of the other guys. But you know, like I said, it's nice that Tristan Thompson thinks he earned that money. You know, it'll probably make him play better in the end, and that's a good thing for the Cavaliers, because you know they definitely need it. They've been having their issues here, right and left. So, but while we're here, Dan, let me knock out the NBA schedule real quick. We've got the Sacramento Kings at the Philadelphia 76ers. Believe it or not, that game's already in the second quarter, and Sacramento's ahead 38-23. We got the Brooklyn Nets at the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic at the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a TNT doubleheader night. The first game you're going to get on TNT, Dan, the Detroit Pistons at the Boston Celtics. We do have the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Dallas Mavericks. And then the night wraps up at on TNT with the Memphis Grizzlies against the Phoenix Suns. Now, you know, in that 76er game, Dan, Joel Embiid is not playing. He has a, I think they called it a knee contusion. So basically he has a bruised knee, and they gave him another day off. You know, he didn't make the trip with them, with the 76ers to Chicago over the weekend. So it's, you know, just one of those things. You know, obviously they're just being careful with him, and you know, I think they realize they're not, you know, going anywhere this year, even though I know a lot of people are rooting for them to find their way into that eight spot.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're able to land a guy like J.R. Smith, who is signed through 2020, and is reported.
Oh, it is that long?
Yeah. You know, if you want to do a little bit more of your own research, scottrash.com for more info. So you get 12.8 this year, 13.76 max. You know, it goes up 1472 to 1568 by the 2019-20 season. He is a UFA for 2020. But, I mean, it was a four-year $57 million contract, including 45.150 guaranteed.
Yeah, I didn't realize they had inked him to that long of a deal. That's just nuts.
Well, I mean, look at how do you go from, you know, a 2-year contract at $10 million to a 4-year contract at $57 million?
Yeah. Because LeBron James tells them to sign you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's so weird because, like, I believe both those guys, you know, Smith and Thompson were out on the open market and nobody was making them those kind of offers, you know, and then LeBron stepped in and, yeah, you know, LeBron stepped in and said, hey, bring these two guys back. And I don't know who negotiates the deals for Cleveland, but man, these guys really got taken. I don't understand why you would go that high with either guy. I mean, you know, Thompson's a nice big man, but there's, you know, plenty of those guys out there. You know, and JR, I mean, if you get the good JR, yeah, hey, great, he can carry you for a quarter or two, but sadly, most of the times you get the bad JR, and no fun to deal with.
Yeah, and it looks like with the Kings contract, they have a 2018 option. So he has to play next season in Cleveland.
So, oh, does he? I was wondering if he had a, you know, if he signed on for 1 or 2 year deal. So, but yeah, I just kind of. Oh boy, if he's got to be there next year, imagine what he's going to be like if they don't win the title or at least go to the finals.
Gonna be hell.
You know, he'll just be a nightmare.
You know, and you brought up Thompson, I don't know what turned everything around, but going from an average of roughly $4 million per year for the first 4 years, he jumps to a 5-year, $82 million contract where, you know, he's making roughly $15 million per year. I guess they say 16.4 on the average. I don't know where that came from.
Like, yeah, well, I know some of it, you know, I obviously, you know, not all of it comes from, but some of it came from the fact that the salary cap made such a big jump this year that, you know, teams needed to more or less overpay guys. Remember, even Delly got like a $12 or $13 million deal, I believe. So, you know, it was just teams kind of had to, you know, overpay guys to get to that minimum, because there's a minimum on the salary cap as well. So it's just kind of like, okay, well, you know, we got to pay this guy. All right, let's pay this guy and get it over with. So.
Well, and one thing you find interesting too is Leon Rose is the agent for both Thompson and Smith.
Oh. So. Yeah, so, well, you know, I'm sure, you know, anytime you get LeBron's backing, you know, you know, you can just run with it then. So, you know, no reason to not try to take, you know, complete advantage of the situation. I did see Kevin Love is out tonight for the Cavaliers against Dallas. Did you see if your guy Dirk is playing?
I did my whole start everybody who's starting.
Oh, so I didn't. Yeah, I did. I went in and did a bunch of stuff in advance because I was a little frustrated with it. I was getting pounded by the first place team. So I just went in and set things ahead for a few days so I could take a little break and try to regroup and hopefully, things will turn around for me this week. Yeah, he was just, I think I was ahead in one category and it was just like, oh boy, it's going to be one of those weeks. So he, you know, obviously he's in first place for a reason. I didn't win anything, you know, out of those free rolls either. So I had just a wonderful fantasy week.
You know, speaking of the first place guy, he is, you know, he's got top tier talent on his team, and he thinks that by throwing out, you know, how else do you put it other than dumbass trades to people who aren't in the going to make the playoffs, you know, like myself, that I'm just going to trade away Ricky Rubio and Kevin Durant for, you know, Jabari Parker and two guys that don't even, you know, really count in the rankings. Meaning they're in the 400s. Yeah, I'm just going to make that trade straight away. So I countered him this morning. I'm sick of his trade. I forget who his two best players. Oh, for James Harden. And, you know, because basically, as far as Yahoo ranking goes, Harden took the two spot and KD took the three spot. So I figured I'd go after him and see what he thought. And, of course, I have gotten no response yet. So we'll see what happens with that.
Like I said, I made sure my lineups were set. I didn't want to, you know, go through any issue with that. And, you know, I'll go in. I don't remember how long I set it ahead for, but I'll go in and, you know, double check and, you know, make sure things are going okay with it. But yeah, I didn't even, you know, like I know you'd sent me a trade that I didn't even end up looking at because I didn't know it was there. Until I got the notification that it was deleted, and that other guy had sent me a trade that he deleted, and it was just kind of like I didn't even know it was, again, like I said, I didn't even know it was there. But I think the guy, I think you get deals from that guy like that because he's been making them all year. That's why his team looks like it does. You know, because people have just been, you know, he's been dealing with that. I don't know the guy's name, but the team name is Furious. And, you know, he's just been robbing that guy blind all year, so he probably assumes that, you know, everybody is going to be like that.
I'm just talking about the Answer Cools guy. I thought he was in first place.
Yeah, he is. Answer Cools is in first place. So.
Oh, that's Furious?
Yeah, Furious is in like 10th. He's the guy who's been giving away most of his good players. You know, he's been swapping them out all over the place. And you know. So yeah, it's just been kind of one of those, you know, one of those weird things, you know. I guess when you get used to it, you kind of think, oh, well, you know, maybe everybody is, you know, everybody is like that, and I'll be able to just go in and, you know, take all these guys, you know, it won't be a problem. Just give me, you know, give me all your guys. So. But yeah, you know, that's how it is. And I did see, you know, I kind of forgot the game was on, but I saw the Bulls actually, in all their dysfunction, managed to get a win over the over the 76ers last night. So that was a bit of a positive, I guess, in the situation the Bulls are in. I mean, there's really no other way to look at it, is it? So.
Just positives, I guess, but coming off their dysfunctional weekend, and you've even, I had heard this morning that now people are thinking this team is more dysfunctional than it was last year with what everyone thought was the problem, Derrick Rose, and now he's gone. I mean, you brought up on several occasions thoughts or theories that Jimmy was the problem. You know, whatever. I mean, but I still don't buy that he's the issue. I think something that has to do with the office and the coaching. I'm not so sure about the coaching, but, I mean, were these the guys that were supposed to fit Fred's coaching system? Or were they just kind of doing the usual and giving us a buffer so that fans are interested in for a while? Even though you lost a lot, but I mean, where do you go with this team from here? You just kind of, I thought this team was going to be exciting to watch. I didn't think they were going to take the Cavs and all the way to finals, but I didn't expect this level of dysfunction.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year, I guess is the way to put it. You know, I didn't understand. The, you know, the Rajon Rondo signing. I know they didn't have a point guard, you know, once they moved Derrick Rose. But I think there could have been better ways to go about it. You know, he's always had issues no matter where he went, with the exception of the Sacramento Kings, which is hilarious because, you know, they're as dysfunctional as the Bulls. You know, and then, you know, the weird part is, you know, I think they looked at their roster, and I honestly believe the only reason they signed Dwayne Wade was for the attendance bump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you put these guys together, you know, you got Butler, who's an up-and-coming player. You got Wade, who's at the end of his rope, and Rondo, who just, you know, is Rondo. Well, you know, the game in the NBA now is three-point shooting, and that's the worst thing all these guys do is shoot three-pointers. Now, Jimmy's worked on it and improved this year. I believe it's actually up from last year. Wade never was a good three-point shooter in his career, and Rondo just can't shoot, period. You know, I mean, the guy has problems at the free throw line. So, you know, you add these guys to this mix where, you know, this is what the league does, and now we're not going to be able to do it. How are we going to compete? So, I don't get it. I didn't understand a lot of it to begin with. You know what I mean? The best thing that could happen to the Bulls is if Wade opts out after this year, so they can kind of get out under that, you know, that horse or however you want to describe it as, and just kind of let him go on his way. You know, yeah, you got to come home and play for a year. You know, that's great. You know, good luck in your future endeavors.
I don't know. I think he needs to move on next year and just take time with Miami and retire.
Yeah, you know, you got to wonder how much longer he wants to play, or, you know, does he, you know, is he looking to win another championship? you know, where does he, you know, where does he end up? And, you know, but there's a lot of questions like that with some of these guys. You know, like, I was glad they didn't, or, well, they, maybe they still will, but I was glad they didn't go out and bring Chris Bosh in. You know, I don't know if Bosh can still play. You know, is, you know, there's a lot of questions about his, you know, his injury issues or his health issues, more or less. But, you know, that doesn't help your situation, you know, because you're not getting Chris Bosh from 5 years ago.
Got a cool tie company.
You know, and I mean, you know, the sad part is, I mean, I like the guy. I really do. You know, I've always been a Chris Bosh fan. But at this point in time, I mean, he's, you know, there's just nothing there to, you know, no reason to bring him in. You know, it's just, it's not going to help this team. So, but we did, as we kind of switch, as I kind of switch up on here, Dan, some pretty, you know, I guess it would be pretty big baseball news. You know, baseball finally wrapped up the investigation into the Cardinals, I guess you would just call it hacking of the Astros database. And Major League Baseball has ruled that St. Louis will give the Astros their first two draft picks from this coming draft and pay them $2 million. So let's see, it says here the Cardinals will lose the 56th and the 75th pick as punishment because they, you know, they already gave up their top pick in order to sign Dexter Fowler. So I don't know. What do you think of that punishment? Too much? Not enough? Did they get it right?
I think they got it right.
So, and I know the guy, you know, they apparently baseball decided that only one guy did this. It was Cardinals scouting director Chris, I'm guessing it's pronounced Correa. And he was sentenced to, I think it was 46 months in prison. And he did not cooperate with baseball in this investigation. So, but they placed Correa on what they call the permanently ineligible list. Basically banning him from baseball.
Well, he's got one friend, right?
Well, depending on what kind of prison he goes to, Danny may have more friends than you think, but that's a different story. So, yeah, otherwise, I guess he can, you know, when he gets done, he can always talk to Pete Rose. So.
Yeah, at least you know where I was going with that.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just kind of went another way. They have some, you know, interesting quotes. Like they say the Astros suffered material harm is the term they use. So it's kind of like, you know, just kind of the fun stuff they do when they put out these press releases. It's like, oh, what kind of big words can we put together to, you know. But I
well,
do
I mean,
wonder.
Overall, I thought that. I don't remember how much the hacking worked, but it was not just the hacking. It was the fact that I believe he worked with the Astros, came over to the Cardinals and kind of sold
yeah.
the system. But I still love the fact
yeah.
that nobody in the Astros organization decided that it would be a good idea to change the password. Because if you remember, the Cardinals password was the same exact password.
Yeah, it's always a good thing when, you know, an employee like that leaves to change all that stuff, you know, get your IT department to, you know, take care of that stuff for you. But, you know, with the acquisition of these two picks, Dan, the Astros now have five of the top, what was that number I saw today? It might be 90 picks. So it'll be really interesting, you know, and obviously in baseball, you know, we're still not trading picks. You've got to assume somewhere down the line that's going to happen. But you know, they've got a chance here if they, you know, they can hit on these picks, and it's supposed to be a deep draft is what everybody's saying. This is supposed to be a really good draft. You know, boy, this could be a cornerstone builder for these guys if they can hit on this, right?
Could be if they can hit on it.
So, yeah, it'll be, you know, it'll make it interesting as it comes up to, you know, this kind of roll along. It'll be like, oh, well, let's see what they do with these picks. And, you know, you just, you know, you always wonder, you know, teams kind of get, oh, well, you know, we have all these picks. We can take a flyer on this guy. So we'll have to see if they, you know, if they do that. But, you know, now, how much do you think, Dan, this hurts a team like the Cardinals that really, you know, I mean, they build from within. I mean, when you're the Cardinals, you know, a guy goes away, you know, you just, you call up the next guy from AAA and he fills the spot. You know, how much do you think this affects them?
I mean, to be honest, I think their system has been kind of been affected before this. Yeah, they've always had those guys, but it hasn't really worked out the last 2 years with their, you know, the scouting. I mean, even I still die at the fact that there really is no comparison. You know, everyone's like, oh, the Cardinals signed Dexter Fowler. Well, the Cubs went and signed John Jay to replace. That's not a replacement, guys. We're talking about a utility outfielder who plays, you know, all three positions and is not generally considered a starter. He's, you know, even when you go to fantasy, he's your fifth, sixth outfielder. You're looking to get three or four more guys before him. So it's not, there's no equivalency between those two guys. I don't know where that comes from. I get it. You got to be excited, but everyone's like, oh, the Cubs signed John Jay. Oh, okay. Well, the White Sox have, you know, James Shields. So what's the difference? But
and
I don't know. I feel like
John Jay was a Padre last year. He wasn't even with the Cardinals. So
yeah, but you know, everyone forgets about that, just like me, and likes to bring up the fact that he was a Cardinal because, you know, well, we got back at them. We signed a former Cardinal, and that's the other. That's, I guess, the point I was trying to get to was, you know, he was a guy who I thought came up within their system, but at the same token, you know, these guys are kind of disappearing. I don't know that their system has been as strong. And I think, like you said, it'll take a hit with this coming draft in June. And then was it only for this year? They're not getting punished in the future?
No, this is the full punishment. So, you know, that was it. The draft picks, the two draft picks this year and the $2 million fines, that's it. Then it all goes away.
Wow. Well, and you know how I forget the order, and I have to double check, but I don't remember if they had a competitive balance pick this year. I know they're supposed to get that for being a smaller market, but I don't remember if they had that in the first round, which would be after. I wish I had the list in front of me. You can go punch it up, pull it up. Anyone
that was
who's out there.
One of the picks they had to give up.
Oh, okay. So I mean, they're losing two in the first, you know, in the first round, and then one in the second round. It's going to suck for them, but, you know, I don't, but I guess to compare apples and oranges, I don't feel this was in the likes of Deflategate. You know, I think it's a pretty fair punishment. I don't think it's too exorbitant, like the Patriots had to go through. I mean, it's almost similar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the. Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, no players got suspended, no players were involved, so that was obviously, you know, a big plus for them. Yeah, you just wonder, you know, and they are a, you know, a pretty intelligent front office, I guess would be the way to describe them. So I'm sure, you know, they'll find ways to get around this, or, you know, find other players. And, you know, you wonder if maybe that's why some of the moves they made were done. You know, they shipped Jaime Garcia off for some minor league guys. You know, and yeah, you just kind of wonder if, you know, maybe that inspired some of these moves, as they knew they were going to get some kind of punishment like this, and they had to just kind of make sure they were stocked.
I don't know. It's just, it's so hard. You know, I think, I don't remember how long we've been focusing, and not just, I don't mean you and I mean just baseball writers and, you know, followers in general. I've been emphasizing the farm system so much. I don't know. You know, I'm sure there's always been a guy who's put out that article every year. Oh, this is the top farm system in the country, you know, for, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. I feel like it's a ranking system that is almost like the NBA, where the record really doesn't matter. You know, as long as you're one of those top 8 teams that gets in, that's all that matters. So you're 1 through 32, and, you know, let's just pull the White Sox out of the hat. I don't know what their rate is, what their team, you know, their system is right now. But I mean, they've always kind of sat down in that low 20s. You know, I think I've even heard as bad as 28 somewhere in the last couple of years. Now, let's just say the moves they made this season, and say by, you know, the trade deadline, they're able to do some other stuff, you know, in a fantastical world, and everybody's eyes who believes and buys into this sellout stuff. Let's just say by the trade deadline, they're able to sell Quintana and Abreu and, you know, load up 5 more prospects. I mean, so they go, they have the possibility of going from 28th to, what would you say, in the top 10, maybe even the top 5. But if they move up into the top 10 this year, and they sit there with a team that doesn't win, so they have this top farm system, but they have a team that doesn't win. Kind of like the Astros. They haven't won anything. They've always kind of been up there over the last few years, and everyone just kind of judges everything off the farm system. But when everyone seems to be stockpiling their prospects and getting better, how does that really change anything or make anything better for anybody? I know I just ran around in a huge circle and I probably made no sense, but sometimes you're able to make sense out of the crap I throw at you.
Yes. Well, here's, Dan, where I think people get a little carried away with their prospects. And I wish I would have asked Stu where he found this article at, but he came up with an article from somewhere on how there are Cubs people in the Cubs front office who now regret trading Gleyber Torres and Billy McKinney for Aroldis Chapman. Now, you got to, you know, we talk about this all the time, Dan. You just mentioned it in the NBA trade. You got to give up something to get something. If you do not have Aroldis Chapman, we're not talking about the Cubs being – Yeah, they're not the defending World Series champions. I'm sorry. But, you know, Torres has taken off. You know, there's a lot of guys who like him now. You know, everybody's super high on him. You know, he's jumped way up the prospect rankings. So now, you know, God, I can't believe that, you know, they gave him up to get, you know. Yes, shut up. You know, these are things you have to do.
Well, I mean,
you know,
not only that, and
it's part of the game.
I don't wish anything negative on the kid. Of course not. If anything, I'm always going to be jealous of all these kids because never had the opportunity. So it is what it is. I have to live mine. And hopefully they get to live an illustrious career in the Major League Baseball. But at the same token, you know, one thing you always bring up, and I think this is part of it that puts some validity into what I'm about to say. Yes, I'm using you to make myself valid.
Woohoo!
So, I mean, look, I know exactly, right? Look to where he went. You know, he went from one of the biggest stories, and I'm not talking himself, I mean the team he's affiliated with, the Cubs, one of the biggest stories. Of course, the Cubs have always been a huge story, because everyone knew them as the lovable losers. You know, thankfully that died off eventually. That's the one moniker I hated. Take that away. But he went from that telling, you know, that underdog story that everybody knew about, Well, he's, you know, in that farm system where he is, where he was. And I don't know what happened between September and, you know, January for Jonathan Mayo to just, you know, completely switch his thinking or ranking system. But then he goes from this great story to who, if baseball had an American team like the Cowboys, it would be the Yankees with the following they have. So, I mean, how much stake can we really put into Mayo and jumping Gleyber Torres to number one, therefore all these other writers start to like him more, this and that, when he went to the Yankees, which is the biggest story. And like I said, I wish no ill will or anything like that. But what happens when he comes out next year, which he won't, but let's just say he came out and played next year or in the following season in 18 when they ship off Didi Gregorius somewhere. He does a season and bats 200 and everyone goes back looking like, well, Dansby Swanson was, you know, really the guy we should have been looking at.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, I'm throwing out hypotheticals, but this is what I mean about everyone jumping on the farm system. You don't win championships on the best farm system.
No, well, here, I'm glad you brought that up, Dan. Here are Keith Law's top six farm systems in baseball right now. The Atlanta Braves are number one. The New York Yankees are two. The San Diego Padres are three. The Pittsburgh Pirates are four. The Los Angeles Dodgers are five. And the Milwaukee Brewers are six. Now, when we make our preseason predictions for 2017 in baseball, there is only one team out of those top six that any of us may pick to win the World Series.
The Braves?
Yeah. Well, you know, you look at it, the Braves aren't a playoff team. The Yankees have a shot to contend, but they're not winning it. Yeah. The Padres aren't a playoff team. Sadly, the Pirates aren't a playoff team. You know, finally, you get to five with the Dodgers. The Brewers aren't a playoff team.
No.
You know, you round out the top ten. The Mets are seven. The Reds are eight. The Rockies are nine. And the White Sox are 10. You know, the Mets may get to the playoffs again, and if their pitching stays healthy, maybe they have a shot. The Reds are rebuilding. The Rockies aren't better than the Giants or the Cardinals, and you just talked about the White Sox.
Yeah.
So out of the top 10 minor league systems, there's one team with a solid chance to win the World Series, and that's the Dodgers. You would give the Mets a long shot and then the Yankees a longer shot than that. And those are the top, according to Keith Law, who does minor league stuff for a living, those are the top 10.
I mean, and does he, I don't know how quickly, easily you can move back to 2016, his rankings. But I'm sure the Cubs were up there. Yeah, you know, I'm sure
they were number four in 20. They were number four in 2016. Now he has them at 18.
See what I mean? Okay, you're telling me that because of Gleyber Torres and McKinney, that they go from four to 18?
Well, then, you know, they also picked farther down last year. You know, because they had a winning record, so they dropped in the draft. They weren't picking at the top. So, you know, there's some kind of effects that go into that.
Yeah.
So.
I guess. It just, I don't know. Like you said, it doesn't win you championships. And I think Gleyber Torres got a boost because of the whole situation he was in.
Yeah, you know, he played well in the offseason. I mean, you know, give him credit. He put up big numbers in, you know, the fall leagues and all the stuff they kind of did after the season. I mean, I believe he may have been the MVP of the Arizona Fall League. So, you know, he did well. And, you know, but you got to remember, we're talking about a kid who is all of, you know what, 1920?
Yeah.
You know, it's a big difference between facing that guy in double A and then facing the guy in the majors. You know, hopefully he has a really good career. I mean, I don't wish anything bad on the guy, you know, but they get all excited about these guys. And, you know, we've seen it time and time again, you know, I mean, when guys actually used to like to come on the podcast with us before they just went out and started our own, remember how high our guy Eric Heisman was on Mark Appel, and he was untouchable, and he was the future of the Astros rotation for years to come. Now, Mark Appel has still never pitched an inning in Major League Baseball, and he's now stuck in the Phillies farm system. So, you know, you do miss on these guys. And I know, you know, we've talked about it, you know, quite a bit here. I mean, you can go through every team's early round drafts and there's misses. You know, you look at this guy going, oh man, this guy's going to be great. I mean, some of the Cubs, you know, names come to mind. You know, they drafted an outfielder by the name of Earl Cunningham with the first round pick that never made it to the majors. They had a catcher by the name of Todd Noel. I actually had a friend in a fantasy league who was the PA announcer for the Rockford team when Noel was there, and he loved the kid, thought he was going to be a major leaguer for a long time. Never made it. You know, I mean, and well, you can go through every team and point out these failures.
Well, how much did we hear about Brett Jackson?
Right. You know, there was a quote where somebody said Brett Jackson had Mike Trout-like ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, you can even start looking at it now. You know, we've been waiting for 2 years now, if you're a Twins fan, for Byron Buxton to develop into the guy that you were told he was going to be. He was the number Baseball America's number one prospect for, I don't know, a couple seasons in a row. The, you know, in 2 years, the best he's hit is 220. I think it was 5 or 6. Okay, you know, and obviously he's still young. He's got time to develop, but, you know, which guy are we getting? You know, will he be that guy? And, I mean, you know, the same goes, you know, for any, you know, any of these guys that, you know, we talk about, like they're talking about Gleyber Torres.
Well,
okay, well, you know, will he or won't he?
Yeah, remains to be seen. But here's the question I just kind of thought of that makes you wonder if this adds any of the regret to it, is the fact that Chapman's re-signed with the Yankees, like he said he was going to do. So you can't be surprised. Yeah. You know, people who I even showed the press conference to were like, nah, he's not going to re-sign back there. I'm like,
yeah, I think... You know, if you were a Cub fan who didn't believe he was a rent-a-player, it was wishful thinking on your part. There was really no way he was coming back. And then once you looked at the way he was used in the playoffs, that just guaranteed it, because Madden had absolutely no concern for the guy's health. He ran the guy out there constantly. He didn't care if he got hurt or not. Because, you know, by then, they had decided he wasn't coming back. So, you know, it would have been great. I mean, obviously he's a fantastic closer, but, you know, obviously Theo has other plans that, you know, maybe they think they've got something in the system or on the staff or whatever they're going to do. And, you know, we'll see how it works out. But, you know, if you thought he was coming back, that was just a big wish on your part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I felt that. Did you not watch the press conference? He flat out said, "Wants to play for the Yankees."
Yeah, it was pretty obvious, you know, that was going to happen. I mean, you know, and I mean, it's no different. Well, in a way, you know, obviously he's a little better pitcher, but you know, the Cubs did the same thing with the A's. You ship him off Jeff Samardzija to Jason Hamill, and then you re-sign Hamill. You know, so you get your cake with an extra piece of cake, basically. You know, it happens quite a bit, but you know, I mean. Without Chapman, you don't have a World Series. You know, you don't have a championship. You needed Gleyber Torres to get him. You know, I mean, would you have rather given up Kyle Schwarber to get Andrew Miller? You know, how would they be feeling now? So, yeah, you know, it's just the things you've got to, you know, you got to kind of deal with. But we did have a signing, Dan. I don't know if you saw this one. Brandon Moss got a 2-year, $12 million deal to go to Kansas City. So it looks like he'll be the designated hitter replacement for Kendrys Morales. You know, Moss actually a little bit more of an athlete than Morales. You know, they'll be able to use him at first if they want to give Hosmer a day off, and he still can play the corner outfield spots. I doubt he'll hit for the kind of average Morales did, but, you know, it's a solid signing for a team in Kansas City's position, isn't it? Oh, either Dan muted himself or he went away. Or maybe he drove into that zone where we just can't hear Dan sometimes. You know how that happens? So we'll have to see if Dan pops back up. There's Dan. All right. So, but Dan, apparently the Twins are now interested in every free agent left on the market. You ready for this? Apparently they have talked to Joe Blanton, Boone Logan, Jerry Blevins, and Craig Breslow as pitchers, and they've also talked to Justin Morneau and Mike Napoli. So, if you're a Twin fan, at least they're throwing some names at you, right?
Yeah, I mean, why not call Torrey Hunter again?
Oh, you know, could you get Torrey Hunter back? Yeah, Torrey, come back one more year. I know I saw the Braves added another catcher. They signed Kurt Suzuki. I was a little surprised he didn't get a better look for some other teams. You know, he's a really good defender and just kind of a solid enough hitter to really be productive on a team. I'm a little surprised that he ended up in Atlanta and one of the other teams didn't kind of jump on him. But you wonder if he got lost in the mix. There were, you know, a couple bigger name catchers than him out there, but you know, I think he'll do well in Atlanta if he gets a chance to play.
Yeah, well, there's the young talent down there that he could work with. I mean, the downside with him is he's not really a fantasy option.
Yeah. You know it's definitely, obviously being a good defender doesn't really help you much in fantasy. That's the, you know, the one negative there. But, yeah, the Braves are carrying a ton of catchers. I don't know, you know, how that worked out. You know, they have Tyler Flowers still, and then they still have Anthony Recker on the roster. You may remember, Dan, the short relived career of Blake Lally with the Cubs. They have David Frias, and they also picked up Tuffy Goswitch. So they're carrying like seven catchers going into spring training.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of one of those, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you need those guys, but you know, when it comes down to the end, it's probably going to be Flowers and Suzuki, you know, as the two guys who make the team. And then we'll have to see how everybody else shuffles out. But sadly, of course, the signing of Suzuki means AJ isn't going back to Atlanta, which is too bad, because I was hoping he'd play another year, but maybe it's just time for AJ to go, you know, pack it in.
What about Miami? I'm sure there's a team somewhere that could use him.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping he catches on somewhere. You know, somebody brings him in as a veteran backup, you know, somewhere down the road. You know, I just don't know. I was kind of trying to, you know, look and see. Maybe if there's an injury. Yeah, you know, maybe if there's an injury, somebody picks him up, you know. I think Texas is still kind of looking for that kind of guy. Maybe he lands there. But, you know, who knows? You know, maybe, if he's willing, he goes to the Padres. You know, I don't know what their catching situation is. But, you know, teams like that can always use a guy like AJ to kind of work with the younger players and teach them the game.
I mean, why not the Cubs? Why don't they just sign him for the hell of it?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking that, but they do still have, you know, Montero back, and I don't know if they want to go through the three catcher thing again after last year. And, you know, David Ross is part of the front office, so maybe he'll unretire and return to the team.
Yeah, well, and he has an analyst job too, I think, for the mothership.
So, but all right, Dan, we'll have to see if you're out of your streak. Now, on Friday, you did drop both your picks, but on Saturday, they both won. Even your tennis pick won, so you have to be impressed with yourself a little bit there. So we'll see now if this gets you off on a new streak. Now, obviously, you know, there's no NHL, so we're just doing, you know, NBA tonight, so we'll rerun them here real quick. We know the Kings and the Sixers are already started. They're in the third quarter now. The Kings are up 65-56. We got the Nets at the Heat, the Magic at the Timberwolves, the Pistons at the Celtics, the Cavaliers at the Mavericks, and the Grizzlies at the Suns. Dan, I'm going to go back to the Brooklyn Nets at the Miami Heat. You know, Brooklyn's, I believe, the worst team record-wise in the NBA. And if I can double-check it here, I believe Miami, unless they lost over the weekend, is still on a pretty good – oh, yeah, the Heat are on a seven-game winning streak. So do you got the Nets ending the streak, or can Miami keep it going at home?
Miami can keep it going.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll see how that works out. There we go. You know, we'll just keep working on the schedule here, Dan. We got the Orlando Magic at the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's see. You know, you picked the T-Wolves a couple times last week, and they split. They were 1-1 for you. You got them beating the Magic at home, or you like Orlando here?
No, I've got them at home.
Yeah, you know, I think we'll just do two today. There, you know, there's not a huge in a game, so we'll stick with two picks for Dan and see how those work out. I was really kind of wondering if you were going to actually take the Nets. I thought, well, Dan, jump on the Nets here and see what happens, and if they can get a big huge win for them, that would be quite humorous. So, but no, you bailed and went with the Heat. Oh.
I mean,
now, did you manage to? Did you manage to watch any of the NHL All-Star festivities or any of the Pro Bowl stuff?
No, I actually got caught up doing home improvement. Totally forgot they were on.
Yeah, I did watch some of All-Star Saturday Night, which is always entertaining, but I turned the All-Star game itself off after Corey Crawford gave up six goals. So I just couldn't handle it anymore. So,
was he even trying?
You know, it's a kind of scary thing is it actually appeared like he was trying, but yeah. So
you want to make I just figured out, you want to make the NHL All-Star game or something? Make the stats count.
All right, the music means that Dan and I are going to be taking off here. So don't worry, we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live to do it all again. You know the deal while we're away. Get over to sportschemradio.com, check out all the stuff there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Of course, you can jump on and follow the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan's picks will come up there, or at Dan Z Man. Remember, there's three E's in that. He's going with the Minnesota Timberwolves over the Orlando Magic, and he has the Miami Heat over the... At Twitter feed, let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.